This is the last day we're going to talk about something of the devotional life. And so today I just want to share one or two thoughts with you about lordship. And I'd like to ask you three questions. Don't answer verbally, please. Is Christ important? Would be the first question. This is to you. And then, is Christ preeminent? Those of you who've worked your crossword puzzles, you'll know that word. And then, the third question, is Christ the only necessary thing in my life? The reason I want to ask you those is because lordship and obedience really do have a lot to do with one another. And the whole concept of the answers to those questions, is Christ important, is he preeminent, and then is he only the only necessary thing in my life, could be answered verbally. But then if we were to scratch out the way we spend our day and put down the minutes, like I could say, I believe Christ is probably the most important thing in my life. And I could ask, and how much time did you spend with him yesterday? Two minutes at least. Or I might have stretched it to seven, you know. And if I were to ask you if that's the time you spent in studying for whatever you plan to be, whatever you think is really important and necessary, and you only spent 7 minutes, do you think that you're going to accomplish that life goal or life aim? So really what we spend our time involving ourselves with, that's probably what our real life aim is, whether we recognize it or not. Now, one thing I'd like to ask you, that if the answer to those questions are not yes, that Christ is the most essential thing in my life, then what does hinder us? What gets us down? Oh, I ran off a little sheet for you, but I forgot to give it to you. Well, on the sheet it says there's a little abbreviation. I like abbreviations. I don't know if that's, you know, just being in America or what. But the C-A-G-I, it's probably the things that'll get you down. C-A-G-I. Clothes are one thing. It could really, we can spend a terrific amount of our mental energy just thinking about clothes. Then we can spend reading time going through the fashion magazine. And then other time, window shopping. And then the other times when we shop, actually shop, and then just wearing them. You know, that can take a lot of our time. Or if you have a car, some of you, that can take time. Or a motorcycle, or bicycle, whatever. And then depending on actually what sex you are, it could be girls or guys that tend to take all of our thought life. And then, let's see, what did I tell you? C-A-G-I, and that would be me, I, myself. I take a lot of time just thinking about myself. So it's good sometimes to take a look and see, what are my affections really on? Are they on my clothes? I mean, do I worship at my closet door? Are just where are my affections? And the Bible talks some about this in Colossians 3:2. Can anyone quote that? Becky, what is it? Okay, set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. One good example I heard one time, most of you know the symbol of the dove and what it represents. The dove, normally when you see it, it represents to you what? Peace. It's a symbol of peace. And in the scripture, the dove represents what? I'm sorry, there's so many answering at once, I couldn't hear. The Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So if you think just a moment about the dove and what it represents, if the dove represents peace to us, Have you ever watched operation of a dove when it flew to its nesting place and saw another dove that moved in on its home and its mate? If you know much about the habits of a dove, even though they are the symbol of peace to us, what will happen if a dove finds another dove with its mate? It will totally destroy it. I mean, the symbol of peace. And so if you consider that in the writing of the Bible, the dove was set down as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. But because God is jealous and because he wants to be first place in our life, if he sees other things moving in and taking place, they can be utterly destroyed or taken out of our lives. And another example of that would be, I think Max mentioned once before that if we seek after the things of God, then other things will be added to us if we're seeking God first. But most of you probably heard the example of the hand, the outstretched hand or the open hand, that you hold everything with an open hand. And if God says to you, what about this blonde, or what about this pair of shoulders you're so interested in, or what about the job that you have, or what about all that study time, or what about your major, or what about that hobby you have, bird watching? And so you say to the Lord, what about it? You want it? And he says, do you want it, Lord? You can have it. What about this fella? What about that? I'm going to put my finger on it. And you say, fine. You want to take him out of my life? You put him in my life. You can take him out? Fine. And the Lord says, no, I don't. Just want to see what you thought. And what about this job? And you say, yeah, you want it. I don't care. You know, I take it or leave it. And so the Lord says, no, I don't want it. I just want to be sure I'm first. But if he says, now what about that fella? And you say, yeah, about that fella. and you close your grip. That's when the Lord flips your fingers open and he takes it out, because he knows I'm not first in that life. And that has something to do with lordship and obedience. Then another verse that probably would go along with that is Luke 14:33. Has anyone gotten there yet in your scripture memory? Luke 14:33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. This thing about all that we have, I think that probably we would assume someone pretty stupid. If you saw a student standing over in front of the student union building or somewhere with his hands full of pebbles, and it happened to be raining diamonds that day, you know, and here he was with his pebbles, and diamonds were popping off all over the place, but they couldn't get in his hands because he was holding his pebbles, his rocks or whatever. And if you really ever look, you know, most of us are holding something in our hands or in our lives. And if you ever examine, what is it that I'm holding? Is it people? Is it friendship? Is it position? Is it my reputation? Is something I'm holding. But God is trying to shower the abundant life on us, his diamonds of real peace and real joy and real happiness. But we've got our hands full of pebbles. So we really don't experience real lordship. Now, one question I think I asked when I got involved in really reading the scripture was, what does the Lord really demand? And if we could look at one verse, our passage, Matthew 11:28-30, the three things he says to us are all positive commands, and these are what they are. Number one, it's come unto me. So we have to come. We have to follow. I don't believe that verse. He doesn't say, now, if you want to be fishers of men, you can read about me. Is that what that verse says? If you want to be fishers of men, if you want to give your life to people, then read about me. Read all those, go to the BSU, get all those books, read the whole business, then read your Bible a lot. Then you could talk. Is that what it says? If you want to be fishers of men, talk a lot about me. No, what does it say? Come to me. In other words, follow me, that idea, follow me. So that takes some action, some lordship action on our part. Come unto me, and then take my yoke upon you. And I don't know what you assume that is, the Lord's yoke, but in 1 Kings 19:19, they talk about two oxen being held together with a yoke. So it actually doesn't mean that the Lord is saying, come here and I'm going to pop a yoke on your neck. What he's saying is, come to me, and then there's a yoke. And I'm sure that being from Texas A&M, Max could explain this better, but I understand a yoke has something to do with hooking together two that move together. So that's what the Lord's saying to us. Why don't you hook up with me, so to speak, and we'll move together, and you will have come to me, but... and you, I will be your Lord, but I'll be beside you. And then the other thing he says is, learn of me, which takes a lot of time. And I meet a lot of people who say, who look at other people and say, well, boy, I wish I was like that. Now, well, who needs it? We don't need another carbon copy of that or whoever that is. We need other beautiful original people that have learned of the Lord. One illustration that somebody gave me some time ago, a very simple illustration showing that Christ really does want to be Lord, is the idea of driving along one day and you come to a crossroad and Christ is standing at the crossroad. And so you drive up sort of close to, and you say to him, I didn't realize you'd be here, but since you are, why don't you get in and ride along with me? And he doesn't move. Say, well, it's nice in here, and I've heard that things get bumpy along the road, and there are a lot of ditches to avoid, and a lot of things that could happen to me. Why don't you, I think it'd really be nice if you just ride along. And he just keeps standing there. And so finally, this person gets the picture and scoots over in the passenger seat and says, why don't you drive? You know, why don't you just take the wheel and drive and I'll ride along? And that's when the Lord will move. So I really wonder if we don't have the misconception that somewhere in our lives the Lord can be the Savior, but not the Lord of our lives. And I think that his whole idea is, I really would rather not get involved in your life unless I can be your Lord. Why don't we pray? I'd like to read this poem that Amy Carmichael, who was a missionary to India for years, wrote. From prayer that asks that I may be sheltered from winds that beat on thee, from failing when I should aspire, from faltering when I should climb higher, from silken self, O captain, free, thy disciple who would follow thee, from subtle love of softening things, from easy choices, weakenings, not thus our spirits fortified, not this way went the crucified. From all that dims thy Calvary, O Lamb of God, deliver me. Give me the love that leads the way, the faith that nothing can dismay, the hope no disappointments tire, the passion that will burn like fire. Let me not sink to be a clod, make me thy fuel, flame of God. Lord, we'd ask this for our own lives today, that you could be Lord, not in just what we read, not just what we say, but in the very action and life of our lives. We'd pray for holy lives, and I'd even pray that we'd have holy motives for lives that we live, clean and pure and sharp before you. This we pray in your precious name. Amen.